I said, I will if you'll answer me just one question. How long will it be before the book's finished?
Finished? It isn't even begun. I'm still collecting material, though that'll go on indefinitely, of course.
He began to walk about, talking more to himself than to me. I believe I could make a start now if I could get a scaffolding that really satisfied me. I need a backbone.
Was that why you took the haddocks? I said involuntarily.
He turned on me at once.
Don't be facetious.
Then I think he saw from my face that I hadn't meant to be, because he gave a snort of laughter and went on,
No, the haddock may be said to have turned into a red herring across the trail.
He was talking to himself again, moving about the room. Then he came towards me. Is the elbow better? I said, Quite, thank you.
Good. Next time you come, I'll try to give you a better welcome. Put the red carpet down. But you must wait until you're invited.
It was only that I was anxious, I said.
Good Lord, do you mean about my state of mind?
He chuckled, then looked concerned.
Well, I dare say I seemed pretty eccentric, and plenty of people will think that's an understatement when this book gets out, if it ever does.
Why can't I take the plunge? It's just the initial idea that eludes me. I've lost confidence, you know. It isn't laziness, I swear. There was a humble, almost pleading note in his voice. I said, I believe you're going to start very soon now.
I hope so.
He laughed a little, in an odd, nervous kind of way,
because if I don't get going soon, the whole impetus may die. And if that happens, well, I really shall consider a long, restful plunge into insanity.
There, there, don't take me seriously. Now run along to bed. I'm going myself. Thomas was deep in his homework at the kitchen table. I said quietly, Come on out. I've got to talk to you. We went as far as the stile and sat on it with the lantern balanced between us. Then I told him everything.
Well, how does it sound to you?
I finished up.
Perhaps he has really got something up his sleeve, though I don't like the sound of all those lists he's making. It's like taking too many notes at school. You feel you've achieved something when you haven't,
Thomas said.
You mean he may never get going on the book itself?
I was quiet for a minute, staring into the lantern. Though what I saw all the time was Father's face when he was looking humble and nervous. Oh, Thomas, if he doesn't, I think he will go out of his mind. He may be a borderline case. Madness and genius are very close to each other, aren't they? If only we could push him the right way. Suddenly, the whole plan was complete in my mind, almost to the last detail.
Thomas didn't think my plan was as wild as I did myself. He was dead keen from the beginning, and most businesslike. You give me the housekeeping money, and tomorrow I'll buy everything we need, he said, and then we'll do it the very next day. We've got to act quickly, because Topaz may be home next week.
The minute I woke up on Thursday morning, I thought, Oh, if only I could be sure it's the right thing to do. And just then Thomas came rushing in to say that Father wasn't waiting until after breakfast, would be off to Scotney at any minute. And instantly I knew that I did want to carry through our scheme, that I couldn't bear not to. The squeak of bicycle tires being pumped up came in through the open window.
It's too late. We're sunk for today, said Thomas.
Not yet, I said. Get out of the house without letting him see you. Go along the walls and down the gatehouse stairs, then dash up the mound and hide behind the tower. Be ready to help. Go on, quick.
He bolted off and I hurried down to the courtyard.
I remarked casually, Oh, can you spare a minute to come up to Belmont Tower? I think you may want to let someone at Scotney know what's been happening in there.
Oh, Lord. Did that last heavy rain do a lot of damage? Said Father.
Well, I think you'll see quite a few changes, I said, with the utmost truthfulness.